Bibles this morning, I'd like you to go to Psalm 68. Psalm 68. You know, as the redeemed of the Lord, we have a very rich heritage that God wants us to participate in. He wants us to prosper and to succeed in life. And he has entered into an agreement with us, and we call it a covenant. And God's covenant with us, it includes his promises that he'll do, but it also includes conditions that we have to meet in order to benefit from God's covenant blessings. And we started a series last week about how to be a covenant keeper, the blessings of a covenant keeper. And, you know, God's part, we don't have to worry about God's part. God's going to do what he says he's going to do. And whether or not we receive the benefits, it's really up to us. It's based on what we do. And in Psalm 68, and verse 19, it says this. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Aren't you glad that God daily loads us with benefits? How many know that there's benefits in serving God? You know, if you read Psalm 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name and forget not his benefits. We have a God who has benefits. And being a member of his family, being a child of God, it gives us access to the benefits that God wants us to have. And salvation, of course, is the ultimate benefit. It is the all-inclusive. All right? If you get saved, you have access to all of God's goodness. And how do you get saved? You accept Jesus Christ into your heart. You make him your Lord. I mean, Jesus is the only way to the Father, and he's the only way that you're going to access these benefits. Now, go with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. Some of these we mentioned last week, and then we're going to get to where we need to be for this week. Amen? But, you know, every time that you're in a service, especially one like this one, you know, you're gonna hear a message, but that message is full of life. And it's going to help you. It's going to transform you by the power of the Holy Spirit. I couldn't get up here on my own and give you an intellectual talk or share my opinions with you. But I spend a lot of time seeking the Father's heart. And I believe that this is what he wants to say to us in this moment and in this hour. And in Jeremiah chapter 17, starting with verse 5, we're going to see two people here. And he said, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm and whose heart departs from the Lord. Okay, so we're seeing someone who trusts in the flesh. He departs from the Lord. He'll be like the heath in the desert. He shall not see when good comes. He shall not inhabit, but he shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. See, I don't want to be like that. That's a good picture of someone who doesn't keep God's covenant. And here is the other side of the coin. Verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river. He shall not see when heat comes, but its leaf shall be green. He shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So there's a vast difference of someone who keeps God's covenant or someone who doesn't keep God's covenant. So what is a covenant? Now, I'm just going to give you a brief summary of what a covenant is. It's like an eternal contract, but it differs from a contract in that a contract always has an end date, but a covenant is a permanent arrangement. All right? A, A contract usually involves only one part of a person, such as a skill, while a covenant covers the person's total being. So when you're in God's covenant with you, it requires your whole being, right? Your heart, your soul, and your mind. It encompasses all of you, okay? A covenant is a vow that cannot be broken once the required conditions are met. All right, God's not going to break his covenant. He is not a covenant breaker. He is a covenant keeper. And when he establishes his covenant with us, he intends to keep it perpetually throughout from generation to generation. Amen? We're still operating under the good effects of Abraham's covenant with God, or God's covenant with Abraham. All right? And a covenant involves two or more people. And our emphasis is God's covenant with us. Every person in a covenant has a part to play and a promise to fulfill. All right? You'll find that, you know, God promised to bless Abraham. But Abraham had to what? He had to leave where he was. He had to go where God was going to show him. He didn't know where he was going to go. But Abraham's part was to leave. God's part was to bless. Amen? And when you do your part, God is faithful to do his part. God will never leave his part undone. God's covenant is a very strong force in the kingdom of God. And we're the only variable when it comes to whether or not the covenant is fulfilled. And Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is the seal of God's covenant with us. So with God's covenant, it brings many blessings. And last week, we talked about the benefit of the benefit of peace that God's covenant brings. This week, we're going to talk about the benefit of having direction. Amen? Do we have that PowerPoint? Is it ready? If it's not, it's no big deal. I just put something together to kind of help you see. This is like a silent movie. So maybe you're here today and you don't know what direction to go. You don't know what choice to make. You don't know how to get from point A to point B or how to get to your destination. God wants to be your guide today. As part of his covenant with you, as part of his covenant benefit, as part of his promise, he wants to teach you his will. He wants to show you the way in which to go so that you can walk in it. Amen? God is a revealer of things. And he likes to reveal things and he likes to show us things because that's just who he is. God wants to be your guide in life. He wants you to have an abundant, successful, and victorious life. And he's done it, and he can show you how to do the same. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14, 12. There is a way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof are ways of death. You know, there's a lot of ways that you can go in life. And, you know, you can go up or down. You can go left or right. You can go forwards or backwards. But no matter which way you go, Jesus is the way. If you want to be on the right way, you got to be in the way that brings you to Jesus. All right? And, you know, God knows the end before the beginning, so he makes the best guide. He knows the details about everything. And God is going to lead, guide, and direct you and give you direction as part of his covenant promise to you. What are some of the benefits of receiving divine direction? It'll lead you to unusual blessings, all right? Didn't God took Israel out of Egypt, and he said, I'm going to bring you into a land that's flowing with milk and honey. A good land, a fruitful land, a fertile land. He brought them into an unusual blessing. Amen? God's direction will give you protection. How many know when God spoke to Joseph in a dream, when people were out to kill Jesus, God told them when to go. He told them when to leave. It was a protection. He left a dangerous situation because God directed him and God guided him. All right? Divine direction will bring you to supernatural performance of ease. It eliminates toil, right? We know the story with Peter. Jesus borrowed his boat, and Jesus then told Peter to cast your nets out. And Peter said, I've toiled all night but caught nothing. But what happened? Based on his direction, cast your nets, he said, nevertheless, you know, even though I toiled, even though my works produce nothing, I'm going to trust your direction. And so Peter did what Jesus said. He cast his net, and how much fish did he catch? Amen? It almost sank his boat. Divine direction will lead you to preservation. Divine direction will help you find your purpose and fulfillment. Let me tell you something. When you find your purpose, it's going to bring fulfillment. It's going to bring satisfaction. And so we want to talk about how we can gain access to divine direction today based on this covenant benefit. Divine direction, it guarantees abundance and it renders your enemies helpless. Saul tried to kill David time and time again, but David sought direction from God and Saul couldn't lay a hand on him. God delivered him. God preserved him. Amen? And God will preserve you too. He'll help you avoid danger. Divine guidance, it terminates tension. And you can follow God on peaceful paths. How many know God wants to lead you on peaceful paths? Pleasant paths. Firm paths. God will lead you into peaceful paths. After all, he's the Prince of Peace, isn't he? Divine guidance brings you into all truth. Part of the Holy Spirit's job is to bring you into all truth. How many know we don't have all truth? But the Holy Spirit can bring us into it. The Word of God is the absolute truth. And he wants to bring us into the promises. He wants to bring us into the blessings. There's things that we don't know that can benefit us. And it's the Holy Spirit's job who's going to bring you in. He's going to say, look, I've got something to show you. Let me point this out to you. Follow me. All right? Divine guidance will get you to your destiny. God had a plan for your life before you were even born. And whether or not you fulfill that plan, it depends on where you get your directions. Right? How many know it's important to get directions? If you've never been to a place, it's good to get directions. And sometimes, even along that way, you know, those directions can be a little confusing, but God's directions are never confusing. Amen? Divine guidance leads you to real rest. Jesus said, all those who are heavy laden burdened, he said, come to me, what? And I will give you rest. How many just want to go through life in a restful state? You know, whenever you're overwhelmed, whenever you're burdened, you got to come to Jesus to get rest. But when you come to him, he's going to take your burden and he's going to give you rest in exchange. All right? Divine guidance is God's continual counsel directing and instructing your steps. You know, God orders you by steps. And he'll never tell you to take step three without having to take step two. You know, I'm a process person. I love processes. And but sometimes God can help you quicken the process. All right? How many know when the disciples were in a storm? They were trying to row, but they couldn't get to shore. But the minute Jesus got into their boat, they were at the shore. How'd that happen so quick? Because they allowed the guide to get into their boat. All right? And divine guidance is being led by God's mercy, strength, and righteousness. You know, God leads you in mercy. He leads you by his strength and his righteousness. So how do we access guidance? Amen? How can we access? Number one, go with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Number one, and if you want to get God's divine guidance, you've got to be his sheep. Did you know that a shepherd is not interested in other than his own sheep? You know, a shepherd's job is to take care of his sheep, to keep them from the wild animals, to feed them. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Isn't that awesome? Well, I thought God only met your needs. Right here, he says, well, if he's your shepherd, he'll meet your wants too. But if you want to receive divine guidance, you've got to be his sheep. Psalm 95:7-8, you don't have to turn there. It says this, for he is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. See, that's the key. If you want to receive divine guidance, God will guide you, but are you listening? Are you willing to do what he says to do? Are you willing to follow his instructions and his direction? Because his instructions and his direction will get you to the right place. Go with me to John chapter 10. Say, I'm his sheep. Yeah, you got to be a sheep. What is a sheep? How can you identify a sheep? Did you know that in the body of Christ, there are some sheep that pretend to be sheep, but they're really wolves in sheep's clothing? You know, I remember that cartoon. It was with Looney Tunes. And the shepherd, the sheepdog, you know, and the wolf. And in one of the cartoons, the sheepdog undressed it, but he was the wolf. And the wolf undressed his costume, and he was the sheepdog. But, see, a wolf in sheep's clothing is not a true sheep. A wolf in sheep's clothing is simply there to devour the sheep. They act like a sheep, they talk like a sheep, but they're not a sheep. All right? So let's look at John 10, and let's look at some characteristics of what a sheep is. You know, John 10:10, this is, you know, Jesus, it's talking about Jesus is the shepherd. He's the great shepherd. And verse 3, to him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. So qualities of a sheep, they hear God's voice, and they go out. They allow God. What does God bring you out? He brings you out of bondage. He brings you out of darkness. Amen? We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light of his dear son. But notice, God speaks to his sheep. And God's sheep hear his voice. You know, you thought voice activation was man's invention. No, God was using it a long time ago. Voice activation. All right, voice recognition. Are you able to recognize God's voice? When you hear all these other voices, when you hear the voice of your flesh, when you hear the voice of other people, when you hear the voice of your circumstances, can you recognize God's voice in all the voices that are happening here? Because God's voice is the one that's going to give you the direction that you need. The voice of opinion is not going to get you to your destiny. The voice of your feelings, you know, your feelings are up one day and down the next. They're not reliable leaders. Say, my feelings are not reliable leaders. The only reliable leader that we have is the Holy Spirit. And he will always work in conjunction with God's word, and he will always glorify Jesus. All right? What are some other characteristics of his sheep? Verse 4. And he puts forth his own sheep, and he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Another characteristic of a sheep is they follow him. Who are you following? Who's your leader? Let's play Follow the Leader, all right? Or let's play Jesus Says, all right? You know, Simon says, but Jesus says. Notice the characteristic of a sheep is they follow him. And notice all they're hearing is his voice. Did you know he doesn't lead you by signs, wonders, and miracles? He doesn't lead you. Now, God is supernatural. But sometimes we want to replace the spectacular for the supernatural. You know, the Mormon church started with something quote-unquote supernatural. An angel appeared to Joseph Smith. And he supposedly gave him these golden tablets. Well, that was spectacular, but it wasn't at all God. See, you've got to be able to not let the spectacular move you so much, but you got to be moved by his voice. And he speaks his voice on the inside of you. You've got to get so close to God that you become so familiar with his voice that you can recognize it above anything else. Above any other sound, you've got to be able to tune in to his voice if you want to receive direction. All right? Verse 5. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Another thing a sheep does is they don't follow strangers. In other words, what sheep follow is a familiarity. They don't follow strangers. Remember the priests in the Old Testament, if you know the story, they offered strange fire. What happened? That fire consumed them. It wasn't the fire of the Lord, but it was a strange fire. What's a stranger? Someone who doesn't go with the word of God. Someone who goes against the word of God is a stranger. Amen? So sheep don't follow strangers. In other words, well, how does someone cease to be a stranger? Through relationship. You want to develop your sensitivity to God's voice? You got to develop your relationship with him. You got to walk with him. You got to talk with him. You got to listen to him. And verse 9. Says, I am the door of the sheep. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go out and find pasture. Did you know that sheep find pasture? Sheep look for a place to get good food. I want you to know, Victory Christian Fellowship is good pasture. Amen? I'm not saying good pastor, I'm saying good pasture. How do I know it's good? Because we give the word of God. We take time to listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, I have a message prepared, but if God said, I want you to do this, I'm ready, willing, and able to do whatever he says. And there's been times where we've totally changed directions of things. Why? Because that's what God wanted to do. You know, yes, I prepare, but this is really God's message. And I asked the Father, I said, Lord, I want to be a good representative of you. I want to express your heart. I want to communicate your will to God's people. But sheep find pasture. Don't tell me you're a sheep if you don't have a pasture. where you're continually grazing? Come on now. The pasture for a sheep is the church, right? There's a lot of people who claim to be sheep, but they don't have a church. They're not a sheep because they're not finding pasture. There's no such thing as a free grazing sheep. Every time sheep are involved, sheep need a shepherd. That's part of being a sheep. When you're a sheep, when you're God's sheep, he will connect you with a shepherd. Amen? It's important to have a shepherd. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd. Say that. Say, Jesus is a good shepherd.
Jesus is a good shepherd.
And know my sheep and am known of mine. Do you know him? Another quality of a sheep is you know him. You have a knowledge of God. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes you hear songs. They're supposed to be Christian songs. And you're like, they don't know God because of what they're singing. They're using words that do not describe God or do not come from the Word of God or do not resemble anything about God. They don't know him. If you know him, you wouldn't be saying that. Right? See, when you know God, you know what he likes and you know what he doesn't like. Knowing God, having a knowledge of God, that's going to make you a sheep. All right? Then verse 26. It says, but you believe not because you are not of my sheep as I said unto you. Another characteristic of God's sheep is they believe him. They believe what he says. Say, I believe God. Well, faith is revealed through action. And what we believe is not by us saying, I believe that. It's by us doing what we believe. Amen? I believe in calling on God in prayer. So in our home, our first response is a prayer response. Whatever emergency comes up, we pray first. And then if we need medical attention, that comes second. Amen? But prayer is first, and then everything else that needs to happen will happen, but prayer is first. You know? And because that's just how we view it. And then verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. In other words, another characteristic of sheep is they listen to him. They listen to his voice. Why are you here today? Have you ever thought about why did you come today? Did you come just because it's Sunday? Or did you become because you heard a voice on the inside of you saying it's time to worship me today? Yeah. Or did you hear a voice saying let's come and gather on the mountain? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. I don't know about you, but I got here because I heard a voice. There was a voice on the inside of me that said you need to go to Palmyra. I knew no one in Palmyra. I had no connections in Palmyra. I'd only driven through Palmyra once. And you know, it's funny, that's how God's led us a lot. We've driven through places, ended up being involved in those places. But how did I get here? I heard a voice from God. I don't mean I heard an audible voice, but just on the inside of me, God was leading me. He was giving me direction. You know how I married the right woman? Because I heard God's voice. I took some time and I allowed God to lead, guide, and direct me. Otherwise, you know, I could have made the wrong choice. I almost was getting involved in a relationship with a lady from Venezuela. I would have missed it by a country. But you know what? I ended up at the right school that I needed to be at. Why? Because I heard God's voice. See, God wants to lead, guide, and direct you in your life. Because that's a benefit of being a sheep. It's a covenant benefit that we have. God will direct you. He's the best director ever. He will always bring into harmony, all right? You know, like the conductor. He stands up in front of the orchestra, and when he raises that baton, the instruments are ready. And he moves his hands, you know, like this. He brings out the parts. He brings out the crescendo. You know, he emphasizes this part. Why? He's a conductor. So let God be your conductor. All right? But you got to be a sheep. I better get going. Woo! Another thing that you need to do to get direction from God is you need to embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Go with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John 14, John 15, and John 16 gives us qualities and characteristics about the Holy Spirit and what he will do for us. All right? Did you know that the Holy Spirit is there to help you? He's there to help you along. Verse 26, John 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Notice, he sends it in the name of Jesus. He sends him, the Holy Spirit is a person, he's not a it. He will send him in the name of Jesus, and he's a comforter, all right? How many enjoy a good comforter? Especially on the winter days. I don't know what happened to me last night, but last night, in the middle of the night, I got chills. You know, when you ever been chilled where your body shivers? I'm like shivering, but I found the comforter, and the minute I pulled the comforter off, the chills stopped, and I entered into rest. That's the job of a comforter. Who the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. You don't have to worry about trying to remember what God said. The Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. He will help you remember what God spoke to you. God will say, do you remember that night you were in VCF and I gave you that prophetic word and I spoke that word over you, and you'd be like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. You know, if I take a moment and think, I can think back to all the times and all the places I was at where God spoke to me and he spoke a word in season to my life that it was meant to lead, guide, and direct me and to encourage me along the life's journey. There's a lot of directions that you could go. But if you want to get the right direction, you got to embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit. All right? Go to John 15, verses 26 and 27. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. In other words, when the Holy Spirit, he's always going to honor Jesus. He's always going to speak well of Jesus. He will never contradict Jesus. He will never contradict the word, because the Holy Spirit will always testify of Jesus. So you can be assured that he's going to bring you to where you need to be, because he's testifying of Jesus. He's always in unity with Jesus. He's always in harmony with Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is God. And the Holy Spirit represents them. Amen? He's part of the Godhead. But can you see the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Go to John 16 and verse 12. Jesus was telling his disciples here. He said, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Okay, well, Jesus, if you have many things to say to me and I can't bear them, how am I going to know? I've got you covered. Say, God's got me covered. He says, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Everybody say all truth. Who's going to guide you into all truth? The Holy Spirit. He's been given to us by God. He's been given to us by the Son. You got to understand, the Holy Spirit is the greatest gift ever. He makes this word alive. Okay? He'll guide you into all truth. He'll not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Oh, isn't that awesome? How God will show you things to come. That happened in my life one time. That was in a very dramatic way. And when I went to Lee College, it was Lee College before it became Lee University. And I got involved with this group called Pioneers for Christ. As I was talking to my counselor and setting up my classes, he said, you know, he was one of the sponsors of this group, and he was kind of giving me some information, and I really felt like I needed to be involved in PFC. So I got involved, and on my very first meeting, I'm sitting in the front row. There was maybe about 20 other college kids there. While sitting in the front row, God speaks to me, and I knew that I was going to be president of that group. I'm like, first meeting, and he was showing me things to come. What happened? Next semester, I was elected vice president. Semester after that, I became the president of PFC. And it went from 30 to 120 in one semester. And I'm telling you, we had some dynamic, awesome services on campus and in churches. And really, that's where I first got my first experience of ministry. You know, God will get you to the right training that you need. But here, the Holy Spirit was showing me things to come. It hadn't happened yet while he was showing it to me, but I had a picture. And sure enough, it happened. Amen? God will show you things to come. The devil uses psychics, but God uses the Holy Spirit. And really, if a psychics were so accurate, wouldn't they buy a lottery ticket knowing that they're going to win? The psychics just have guesswork. You've got to embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's a comforter. He's a teacher. He's a guide. He's a counselor. He's a strengthener. He's a standby. What does that mean? He'll stand by you. When you need him most, he's there. He's reliable. He's trustworthy. He's God. What an awesome gift. Are you ready to embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Number three, you've got to embrace the Word of God. Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Are you living by God's Word? Are you letting God's Word guide your actions? You know, because if we're doing things that God doesn't like and God shows us, then we got to what? We got to stop doing those things that he doesn't like and start doing those things that he likes if we're really living by his word. Amen? So we got to embrace the word of God. Listen, this is God's roadmap through life. You talk about street signs, this is your driver's manual, right? And you got to learn the signs. You've got to learn how God leads, guides, and directs. And how God leads you is going to be different for you than it is for me. God is in, he tailor makes his guidance individually. So the way God guides you is going to be the way, it's going to be different than how he guides me. All right? It's okay to be different. Right? You know, God is a creator. He likes variety. Not one fingerprint is the same. That's pretty awesome. You've got to know that God's word is his integrity. Say this with me. Say, God's word is the absolute truth on every matter. And that's really, God gets the final say in your life. Now, God will never force his way on you. He always allows you to choose. And, you know, we were talking, true love does not control. True love allows you to make choices. Amen? Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. The Bible doesn't say, if you don't serve God, I'm going to make you serve me. God's not a godfather. You know, the kingdom of heaven is not like the mafia. All right? But we can embrace the Word of God. You know, there was a story of the prophet Elijah. And in 1 Kings 17, Elijah went before Ahab, who at that time, he was the most wicked king of Israel. And Elijah said, "It's not going to rain except at my word." Now, if you go before a king and you tell him it's not going to rain except at your word, that might put a mark on you, don't you think? Right? Well, how did Elijah then, how was he protected? If you read that story, there's a phrase that says, "The word of the Lord came to me saying." I want you to go to the brook Cherith, and there you're going to drink water, and there ravens are going to feed you. All right? But then the brook dried up. See, God doesn't want you trusting in the avenue. He wants you trusting in the source. The brook was just an avenue that God used, but God was the source. Then Elijah did not make a move until the word of the Lord came unto me saying. And when the word of the Lord came unto him saying, he moved. Then he went to Zarephath. He said, "There I prepared a widow to take care of you." But it was the word of the Lord that came to him saying that led, guided, and directed him through the wilderness. Can you imagine how God led the Israelites through the wilderness for 40 years? You know, he had a physical appearance, a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. And whenever the pillar of cloud would move, the people would follow the cloud. And when the cloud would stop, the people would stop and set up camp. And when the cloud would move, they would move. When the cloud would stop, they would stop. They were being led by God. Amen? Did you realize that there's some things that people camp on that God didn't lead you to? Some people want to camp on their hurts or how people hurt them, and they want to camp on unforgiveness. And they want to hold on to those hurts because they've taken, "Oh, these are my hurts, and I'm going to camp here." Well, it's time to move camp off of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is not a good place to camp. Doubt and unbelief is not a good place to camp. Amen? You don't want to camp there. God is a God of faith. And he always will lead you to a faith camp. Amen? Where you trust God. So if you've been camping on a place and all it does is stir up negative feelings, it's about time. Why don't we leave that place today? Amen? And go to a better place that God has provided for you. How are you going to get there? You're going to follow God's guidance. You're going to embrace his word. Number four, if you want to get God's direction, you've got to be meek. Not weak, but meek. Another way of saying humble. You know, God will lead the humble in a way that they should go. How many know when we call people up front to pray for, that's an opportunity to exercise humility, isn't it? Now, I never would intentionally embarrass anybody, but I want to help people. But I cannot do what the anointing of God can do. And so when God leads, we invite people to come up for prayer. And you know, I've heard a lot of people that say afterwards, I should have been up front. Well, what was keeping you from coming up front? You know, Moses was the meekest. The Bible describes Moses as the meekest man in all the earth. And I want you to consider how God led Moses lead 2 to 3 million people. Moses probably had the biggest church ever. And it was filled with people who were full of doubt and unbelief. And they didn't want to believe God. Even though God would do an awesome miracle today, they would doubt him tomorrow. And as a result, you know, Moses had to do a lot of funerals in the wilderness. But God led him. He led him out of Egypt. He led him through the Red Sea. He led him in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, as long as the people believed God, nothing could come against them. Even their feet didn't even swell. Their shoes didn't wear out. But God sustained them in a barren place. Because Moses, every time he ran into a problem, he turned to God. He humbled himself. And he trusted God. He didn't know where they were going to get water. But God said, throw a stick in the water. And he followed that direction. And when he took that stick that God said throw in the water, it was amazing how the water became sweet. But that one simple instruction caused miracles to happen on a daily basis. Because God was able to lead Moses because he was meek. Matthew 11:29-30 talks about how meek and lowly Jesus is. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said, come to me and learn from me. You know, sometimes we've got to humble ourselves when we don't know the answer. And we got to humble ourselves and trust God that he'll give us the answer that we don't know. Amen? And humility just simply means you're not trusting in anything else other than God. You're putting your entire trust in God. And that'll lead you to divine direction. And then another thing that we need to do to receive direction is you have to be in the Spirit. Some of us probably woke up today and we didn't wake up in the Spirit. Amen? You know anybody that doesn't wake up in the Spirit? What did I do? Wake up a grizzly bear? Hey, have you ever noticed that? Sometimes we don't wake up in the Spirit. But how can we get in the Spirit? Well, we can get in the Spirit through reading the Word, through worship, through prayer, through praising God. Do you know when John wrote Revelation, the Bible said that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and because he was in the Spirit, God was able to communicate a revelation to him that he wrote that we get to benefit from? Well, he was in the Spirit. You know, to be in the Spirit is to be spiritually minded. Go with me to Romans 8. Romans 8. You doing all right? We'll be finishing here just shortly. Romans chapter 8. And let's look at verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So it sounds to me like we got a choice as to whether or not we can be in the Spirit or not. It depends on what you're minding. Verse 6, to be carnally minded is focusing on the flesh, being governed by the flesh, which includes your feelings, your emotions, and everything else with the flesh. You know, we live in a flesh body, but you're not the flesh person. You're a spirit. The flesh is just the house that you live in. Okay? So he says, to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So someone who is in the Spirit is exemplifying life and peace. When someone's in the Spirit, they're not anxious. You know, I remember there were times when we'd be in a service and there'd be a move of the Spirit of God, and you'd literally get so full, you're so full of joy that no news can deter you or kind of bring you down, all right? Bad news just kind of bounces off you because you're so full of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is just oozing out of you. He's pouring out of you. And, you know, it's an awesome place to be, and we can get there. You can make a choice right now to get into the Spirit, to hook up or connect with the Spirit. How many's ever heard a truck and a trailer connect, right? They make a sound when they connect, don't they? Boom. You know it's connected because they make a sound, and all the gears, all the grooves hit the same place, and then you do whatever you got to do. You can tell I don't take a trailer much. You know, I don't think I've ever hauled a trailer, but I've heard a trailer connect. Now, when that truck connects with that trailer, where does that trailer go? That trailer goes wherever the truck goes. And when you get in the Spirit, it's like you're backing up, you connect, you make a connection with the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit goes, you're going because you're connected with the Spirit. That's what it means to be in the Spirit. You can make a divine connection. All it takes is to make a decision. I want to hook up with the Spirit of God. I want to go where the Spirit of God is going. When we're in a service like this, you know, the Spirit's got a direction. And we as the people of God, we got to be able to hook up with His direction and go where He goes, do what He does, just like the trailer and the truck. They make a divine connection, and wherever the truck goes, the trailer goes, because they're connected, because that trailer, in a sense, is in the truck. They're connected to the truck, okay? So we got to be in the Spirit. Just seek to please God. Praying in tongues, that'll get you in the Spirit. That builds up your faith. And then number six, there's going to be times where you're going to have to separate yourself from people and things in order to hear from what God wants you to do. You know, when you read about the Apostle Paul, after he got connected, before he got connected to the church of Jerusalem, if you read in Galatians, he spent some time in Arabia, in the desert. What was he doing? He was connecting to God. He was learning how to hear God's voice. He was learning how to move with God's Spirit. He was learning how to do God's work. John the Baptist was in the wilderness. Why? He was separated because he had a mission, and that separation was necessary to prepare him for his mission. Sometimes we got to separate ourselves from some things in order to hear God's voice. Sometimes you got to stop what you're doing here so that you can focus on God here. Because if you don't stop what you're doing here, you're going to miss what God has for you here. And we got to separate ourselves. You got to be like a watchman on the wall. You know, if you lived in a castle, and a watchman, they're not with everybody else. They're on the wall, and they're standing guard, and they might be the only ones up there. They might only cover a section, but they're separated so that they can get the information that they need. Sometimes, in order to get the information that you need, you're going to have to separate yourself. Paul talks about how he was separated from birth to do what he's done. And then seven, you're going to have to inquire in prayer. You know, if you study the life of David, before every major battle that he would go into, he first inquired of God. He would say, God, should I go into battle? And am I going to win? Am I going to be victorious? And God would say, go. And every time he followed God's direction, he won the battle. He was successful. So you've got to inquire in prayer. ASK. Ask. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. ASK. How simpler could God make that? Ask and what? It shall be given. Some people don't have, James says, because why? They don't ask. Well, you mean that all I had to do was ask and I could have had this? And God's saying, yep. I don't know if God says yep, but he might. But we have to take some time to inquire in prayer. And then finally, one last thing that's going to help you receive direction, you got to stay joyful. God directs joyful people. And if you're not joyful, God's direction will make you joyful in a moment. Amen? Let me just read a scripture. It's in Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So where are you going to find joy and pleasure? In his presence, at his right hand. You can be joyful. God wants to lead you today. He wants to lead you to a healthy place. He wants to lead you to a safe place. He wants to lead you to a successful place. He wants to lead you to a peaceful place. And receiving God's direction is a benefit that you have access to because you're in a covenant with God. Or I should say that God made a covenant with you. And if you want to experience God's direction today, God will show you things to come. He'll show you which way to go. He'll show you which path to take. He'll make darkness light. He'll make crooked things straight. And these things he'll do, and he'll not forsake you. So let's pray. Father, we give you thanks and praise for your word today. Lord, we thank you that we can be your sheep. We can embrace your spirit. We can embrace your word. We can be meek and humble. We can inquire to you in prayer. We can be joyful. We can be in the spirit. And Lord, these are ways that you will lead, guide, and direct us. So Father, I pray that you would move by your Holy Spirit right now in the name of Jesus. And maybe you're here today, and maybe you need direction. Maybe you need it in your life. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you to make a move or to do something. And you need direction. You need guidance because you don't know all the answers. You can't see. But would you let God lead and guide you today? Would you come and humble yourself and receive his direction for your life? How many know that God wants to show you to a good place? Amen? Maybe you're here today and you need direction in your life. God will give it to you. Amen? Is there anybody here that you need prayer? You need prayer for direction, or you need prayer for anything else in your life? God is here this morning. And he wants to take his fatherly, gentle hand. And he wants to guide you. He wants to bring you into all truth. He wants to show you solutions to problems. He wants to show you how you could prosper. He wants to show you how you can better your life. And he's calling out to you. So if that's you today, if you need to just come, and I'd love to pray for you. Because I'm one that found direction. And because I found direction, because God directed me, he'll direct you. He's no respecter of persons. I want to help people find their place in God. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you've been with her in the wilderness, in the dry and barren place, Father. And I thank you right now that you lead her to an abundance of water in the name of Jesus. Refreshing, satisfying, cooling water. Lord, I just thank you right now that you lead, guide, and direct her. Lord, show her the steps that she needs to take. Show her the direction that she needs to go in, Father. Let her hear your voice above any other voice, Father. Oh, that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. He will get you to the place that he has designed for you, a place of blessing, a place of goodness, and a place of grace. Father, right now, just lead, guide, and direct her by your Holy Spirit. Just show her. Show her, Father, in Jesus' name. Make it plain. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Father, those who seek with you with all their heart, they find you. Father, I thank you right now that he's finding his place. Lord, you're healing him of the hurts and the pains of the past, and you're bringing him into his promised land. Listen, God is your Father, and he loves you, and he'll take care of you. You just keep trusting him. You just keep working with him. You just keep walking with him, and he'll get you to that place. He's a faithful God. He always makes good on his promise. So, Father, right now, I pray that you activate your promises in his life in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for touching him. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We need direction. Thank you. Father, I thank you right now.